This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Woodbine for their sponsorship. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on great racing north of the border. This morning, a little bit later on, we'll touch base with Rich Eng out in Las Vegas. I haven't talked to Rich in a while, but he had an article on the America's Best Racing website talking about three horses a little early, shot at three price horses in the Breeders' Cup, and I thought all three of them were kind of interesting. So as you maybe have pulled up the PPs for the pre-entries, we'll give you some thoughts on horses that may add a little value to three of the races in the sequence. Do a little talk on some of the workouts in a few minutes as well, and we have some video of a couple of the workouts that we'll talk about. And we'll kick things off with our friend Ellis Starr. Not only a little bit later get his thought on a Breeders' Cup runner that he's kind of tilting towards a little bit, but great stakes action today as the countdown has begun to the Breeders' Cup, but it's closing weekend at Keeneland. It's closing weekend at Belmont with the big Empire Six mandatory pay tomorrow down in New York, but closing day at Keeneland as well. So we'll talk about some of the stakes at both of those venues, Santa Anita as well, with our friend Ellis Starr from Equibase. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans.
Have I hit on it? Is it officially countdown mode?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the pre-entries come out for sure?
Yeah, I'm actually trying not to look at that heavily until we know which horses are going in which divisions personally for me, but it's hard not to hear stories, you know, every 10 minutes about the West Horse working great and all the other things going on in racing.
You're exactly right. Although a couple of them, like the Mattoli workout, I think legitimately was something kind of special. And you wonder if it was too special. But we'll hit on some Breeders' Cup thoughts in a few. Let's jump in and start things with Belmont, because, you know, all eyes in Southern California next week, but I think all eyes at Belmont this afternoon for the Bold Ruler, because it is the return of Maximum Security. This is an interesting race, obviously, with Maximum Security, who hasn't been seen since the win in the Haskell. There were some stops and starts, obviously, some planned races over the summer that didn't come to fruition. We wondered if we would see him again this year. Well, this, as they say, is a prep for the Cigar Mile. We'll see how that all works out. And Ellis, I, on the handicappers report this morning, I said, if you're going to take a shot against Maximum Security, this is the race where you probably want to do it. I put him underneath. I couldn't toss him out completely. I'm going to take a little shot with Prince Lucky coming out of the second in the Kelso last time. But while we talk, I wanted to pull up another contender that could be interesting. Kelly Biggs, Captain, coming out of the DeFrancis Memorial. This is back on September 21st. Kelly Biggs, Captain, is going to be the number two horse in here. Wins by a chart margin of 3/4 of a length. So again, he's a contender. True Timber to me is interesting for Kieran and Calumet. Obviously, the horse to beat will be Maximum Security. But what are your thoughts on the Bold Ruler?
Well, I actually have it pretty close to you. I have Kelly Biggs, Captain, on top, and Prince Lucky, second win contender, and Maximum Security defensively. Maybe True Timber, I'll use him second in exactos. But Kelly Biggs, Captain, I think, first of all, two things I like about this horse. Eric Cancel, who rode him in the forego, and he ran third to Mattoli, who we just talked about, got on him really for the second time in his career. And then last time out in DeFrancis, yeah, he got a big pace to run at 44 2/10. Nine back, but that was the race where Cancel and him found their stride, so to speak. And the last two were his best two races ever in terms of Equibase speed figures. The last time he won off a loss back in December of 2018 down at Tampa, he won two in a row, and then he went on a five-race losing streak, even though, I should say six, even though there was, again, the four-go in that sequence. Now that he got back, I think this horse can put two together in a row, and I like him. I think he fits here. I think he gets paced. We'll get back to Max Security in a second, but Nick's go is going to go. That's what he does. And so Kelly Beck's cap says Diamond King might go. Prince Lucky certainly has no real knock. If you throw out the two clunkers, the Westchester and the Met Mile, you know, he's 7 for 12. He likes Belmont. Velasquez, of course, rides him well. Just almost won the Kelso Free Clear of True Timber. Not as much value as a win bet at 3-1. And then down Maximum Security. So, yeah, he was scratched, of course, last time out, and then he lost, come back in the Pegasus. You know, when he hits the track, there's no knock on him. You know, he'd be 7 for 7, if not, or 6 for 7, even if he lost the Pegasus, if he hadn't been DQ'd in the Derby. So he's got a shot, but he's facing older for the first time. He's got the rail for the second time in his career, but the other time he had the rail was in a starter allowance. And I just think everybody's going to be gunning for the sheriff here. So I think Kelly Beg's captain's the horse to beat. I'll bet him a 2-1 or better. I'll play Kelly Beg's captain and Prince Lucky over those two plus Max Security and True Timber and try and get few bucks out of this race.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think this is a race where you can take a shot against him. Cuts back to 7 furlongs. The two workouts underneath are kind of well spaced, which leaves some question marks, and they also clearly aren't very fast. September 28th, a 54 workout. I just think there are lots of questions still to be answered, so I'll take a little bit of a shot against it.
Let me interrupt on the workouts. You know, anytime I see a service workout, I know it's not really a workout, so yeah. I never care about times. That's one thing I learned that Bruno DiGiulio taught me, that a John Service workout is fairly qualifies as a workout, so a Jason Service workout. So I don't worry about that. But I'm worried about the spacing, and I am worried about the fact that he had to scratch.
All right, let's move on to the co-feature on Saturday at Belmont. The Awad, $100,000 for two-year-olds going a mile on the grass. I think this is a nice, fun field, full field of 11 in here. I pulled up the maiden breaker September 21st for Tiesto. That was the career debut, one start, one win. Did it with a pretty good number, comparatively speaking, for Bill Mott and the connections at Covfefe, LNJ Foxwood. So I'm going to put that one on top. Don Juan Kitten is interesting to me. Get Smoking, Talking from Augustin, maybe at a little bit of a price with Castellano on board. But what are your thoughts on the Awad?
Well, I have four horses that are contenders here in slight preference order. They're Irish Mias, Don Juan Kitten, Tiesto, and By Land and Sea. And we'll start with Irish Mias because this is a pretty low buyer figure and Equibase figure. People will see and might go up over his 6-1 morning line. But this is that Tommaso, Isabel Tommaso, who bred Irish War Cry, really understands breeding. This is the second full of the dam. The other is a stakes winner on the grass as a three-year-old. Manny Franco rode perfectly. I love the pattern. Second, first. Sprint, sprint, route. First turf route was the win. It's Graham. I'm not going to worry about it. Come home in the 3.5 furlongs and 29.5. Last time out in the Loyal Futurity. This is the kind of horse you want. Two-turn turf experience and stakes experience. So I have no knocks on this colt. The 10, Don Juan Kitten, you mentioned. Man, that was impressive. The horse went wire to wire, Seth, but ran like a closer. That last quarter mile was 22.6. I mean, that's smoking, and that's why the margin was held. So I don't think he needs the lead. Of course, Franco gets off Irish Mias, which is a plus for Irish Mias, but there's no knock with Carmouche riding. And you got another 6-1 morning line. Ben Tiesto, you mentioned for LNJ. Boy, you know, Mott first time out, not usual, so he's got to have a good horse because he takes his time. A quality horse, probably the second or third best Equibase figure in the field. Not as seasoned, of course, but most of these aren't. And then the 9 By Land and Sea. 8-length impressive two-turn winner at Park, so that's a negative. But the best Equibase speed figure in the field with 98. So those are the four I'm looking at. I think, by the way, that Get Smoking and Noble Emotion might duel. Don Juan Kitten may press, which is good, might not be. Talking, I'm not sure about because last time out it was a poor effort. They might go back to the strategy in the debut, which is pressing. So you might have 3 or 4 on the lead. Now you got to start looking for the pressers. And, again, that puts Irish Mias and Tiesto, who were fourth early in those two races, in the right spot for getting up past the tiring leaders.
Yeah, the morning line favorite is Tiesto, but it's 7-2, and I think David Arrigona may have nailed it, at least in the theory. I think this is a wide open race that's going to offer a lot of value. I looked at Irish Mias. I've liked that horse throughout the career. Broke the maiden in that Laurel Futurity last time, so that Graham had the confidence to step into a stakes race with a maiden. I didn't quite know what to do with that one, but I totally agree that horse is a contender by land and sea as well. Boy, the Awad is a fun race this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be great betting race.
All right, let's move on to Keeneland. And for folks who haven't been visiting the Keeneland website, Ellis's picks are there every day, or picks for selected races on the Keeneland website. We'll get some of his thoughts on the feature on closing day at Keeneland, the Fayette Grade 2 event. And it's an interesting field in here as well. Bal Harbor coming out of the second behind Preservationist last time is certainly interesting. Tom's Detat with the triple-digit buyer figures over the last four races. I pulled up the ACAC from September 28th at Churchill Downs. We'll watch number seven, Mr. Freeze, win this one for Dale Romans. I think coming out of that race, Mr. Freeze is maybe an interesting contender too. I haven't handicapped this race yet, but I'd probably tilt a little towards Bal Harbor, although Tom's Detat certainly is solid with those triple digits. But again, Mr. Freeze may be a little bit interesting. Your thoughts on the Fayette?
So the first thing I have to say, and I've never said this in my entire life, this will be the first day of a fall Keeneland meet with an off-track all day.
Oh, okay.
The very first. It's amazing. Fantastic. But, yeah, rain's been continual, and it will be sloppy, probably sealed on the dirt. Not sure about turf. But you've got to love a horse like Mosquito Rojo. 17 for 25. You take away the turf, he's actually 16 for 20 on dirt, 15 for 18 on fast dirt, 1 for 2 on wet dirt. He proved himself outside the Shane Wilson's normal base of Delta, Remington, Evangeline when he shipped to Churchill, won the Lucas Classic. He actually was his best career race. And for a five-year-old, I like it because he's on a three-race pattern now. He laid off from June to August, came back and won the Governor's Cup, then won the Lucas Classic at 9 furlongs on the dirt, gamely by a neck battle the whole length with a really good horse named Silver Dust. So I got to give this horse top preference. Mr. Freeze is probably going to try and take the track away from everybody. Great Day has some speed, but Mr. Freeze comes out of the one-turn mile pressing a 45 and 109. So I'm pretty sure the strategy is going to be take the track away from them, and he is certainly an improving four-year-old coming off again his best Echo Bay speed figure on the same three-race pattern today, the third off the layoff, 105 to 115, where Mosquito Rojo is 110 to 115. And Tom's Detat, I got to use. I'm not tossing him. That big race in the Alley Dart, 9 furlongs. The Woodward was tough, but he didn't really make. He made the move from sixth to second, and then just didn't get a habit after that. And the figures show that his buyers might be the same. As Echo Base went 118 to 108. It was a key race. Two winners came out of the Woodward since, but I'm going to try and beat him a little bit. My play in the race is that Mosquito Rojo is a win bet, 2-1 or better. I'll bet Mr. Freeze as well if I can get 2-1. And then I'm going to play those two over those two plus Tom's Detat. And I'm also going to throw in Bal Harbor, who runs first. Bal Harbor and McDollar Bill, who I'll say combined, have 19 first or second place finishes in 36 career races. So you've got to leave them in your exotic.
Mosquito Rojo, I left out of my mix. But as you were talking, I'm kind of looking. And he's one of those horses. I'm a buyer's guy, and the buyers are maybe a little light compared to the three I mentioned earlier. But he's one of those horses that just kind of goes as fast as needed. And he's on a five-race win streak. And last time, it was a lifetime best buyer to get it done in the Lucas Classic at Churchill. So it seems
he rises to the occasion. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he just does what he needs to do. So I may have to take a second look at him. All right, let's go out to Santa Anita. Their feature today is the Autumn Miss, Mile on the Grass, for three-year-old fillies. Again, a nice little full field. And, in fact, so full, there is a horse on the AE, Raimundo's Secret. And I think if that one gets in, Raimundo's Secret becomes very interesting. But Strike at Dawn coming out of a a win at Del Mar in early summer. Keeper of the Stars comes out of a win up at Golden Gate that produced a pretty good number. Great Sister Diane also coming out of a win. Stakes race down at Gulfstream Park. That one's interesting. And Hidden Message, pretty good second in the United States debut in the Del Mar Oaks. But I could make a case for those, and there's probably a couple others in here that are of interest as well. Your thoughts in Santa Anita's feature, The Autumn Miss?
Well, yeah, 12-4 steel on the grass. What's not to like?
I mean, exactly.
It's unusual these days. I'm going to start with Great Sister Diane because this is an interesting move to ship from Florida, and I was trying to think of why. It's real simple. This race is for three-year-olds only. And so to ship across country after being older to three-year-olds only for even 100,000 is a very strong move. She's run really well. Even though she was a claimer, she's won two out of three. Last was a little stake with a career best and field best 108 echo base figure with a nice move. Vasquez doesn't come along, but Sanchez does, and I'm sure he's familiar with her for Crichton. And you're getting 6-1 on filly that's taking a little hidden drop in class, and this grade three is really no different than the non-graded stakes she ran in last time out. A Keeper of the Stars takes the same move. She's going from allowance to stakes, but she did run fourth in the San Clemente, fourth in the Del Mar Oaks behind Good Horses and Cambia Park, of course, who won the Del Mar Oaks, came back to win the Queen Elizabeth. And then Keeper of the Stars dropped back to a classified allowance at Golden Gate. They rode a race for her, basically, and she won easily. She got a 106, and she fits perfectly here as well. The other ones I'll look at are the 9, Mucho Unusual. Won San Clemente and then bombed in the Del Mar Oaks, but it was a key race. 3 horses have come back to win. And the 3 Hidden Messes you mentioned, second off the layoff, I think she's going to be overbet. There's no question. She didn't win anything big in Europe. She won a $50,000 stake. She ran good second to Cambier Park in the Del Mar Oaks, which is good. Off 2.5 months is so-so for me. I wish she'd been running sooner, but the 5-2 is a little put off in terms of a win bet, so I'm going to box the exact and trifecta with these 4. Great Sister Diane, Diane, Keeper of the Stars, Mucho Unusual, and Hidden Message. But I'm looking at Great Sister Diane here as really a nice horse to take a decent price on.
All right. Marking that on my page for later today. And before we let you go, Ellis has promised some thoughts on the Breeders' Cup, and we talked yesterday via text, and you mentioned in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint there was a horse you were interested in, and I think a lot of people will like taking a look at the last race from Kamari, the filly that'll face the boys for Wesley Ward.
Yep.
She ran in the Indian Summer at Keeneland. She'll be the number 2 horse here, and man, she comes like a freight train after a bad start. So Kamari, again, the number 2 horse. Mike Smith was on board that day. 3 wins and 4 starts so far. Had a nice race over at Royal Ascot back in June, and this race at Keeneland, which, again, boy, look at her coming on the outside here. This is just a fabulous stretch run. So your thoughts with the filly facing the boys, Kamari, in the Breeders' Cup?
Well, we all know Wesley Ward is tremendous with 2-year-olds, fillies, Lady Aurelia, et cetera. Boys don't matter, especially for 2-year-olds. It's funny that she's a slow breaker, and yet she won her first 2 races wire to wire, and she led at Ascot. And then last time, Smith, she broke slow, and Smith, instead of putting on the lead, which had been her trait, just let her relax and roll. If she has a racetrack to run on, in other words, if he can find any path and not try and weave, just take her to the outside, I think she rolls by the boys in this race, and I'm looking forward to betting her and seeing really what she's made of. But she probably will be a little underbet because even though fillies have good history against the boys, people still tend to believe the boys' 2-year-olds are better and stronger, which in my mind is certainly not the case.
Yeah, she's going to be a lot of fun. One of those stories of a number of them Breeders' Cup weekend. I mentioned Kafefi and Come Dancing yesterday, talking a little bit about the pre-entries. Mitoli, Imperial Hint, Chancelot. The sprint is looking good. I want to see what Omaha Beach does in the dirt mile. Again, the countdown has begun. Christmas for adults, Christmas for horse players.
Yes, it's going to be a fantastic weekend at all. And people will follow me on Twitter at UberCapper. We'll get some of my plays via various blogs I'm writing.
Looking forward to it. Ellis, as always, appreciate the visit and the conversation. And, of course, we will talk again.
Thanks, Seth. Everybody take care. Have a great day. Make some money.
Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase, again, with some nice racing here the week before, as it were, with the Breeders' Cup coming up on Friday. But we talked a little Belmont, where all eyes will be on the return of Maximum Security and the Bold Ruler, the closing day feature at Keeneland, and also today's feature at Santa Anita. So we'll take a break when we come back. We'll hit on some of the workouts leading into the Breeders' Cup, talk a little Breeders' Cup for a few minutes, and then we'll take another break, and Rich Eng will join us, and we'll continue with the Breeders' Cup conversation, because again, he had that fun article on America's Best Racing within the last few days, talking about three horses that may offer a little bit of value if you're looking at them for the Breeders' Cup. So all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup winning your in-series.
To win one of these Challenge Series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the Challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning in race, provides the top middle distance horse in Europe. We saw Highland Reel run in both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back. I almost said Handicapper Support. Handicapper Support was an hour ago. Handicapper Support, Racing Across America, OTB Live. What I need is a voiceover that says what the title of the show is, and then I don't have to worry about it. That comes out of the commercial. Then I just say, welcome back. But it is Racing Across America as we are in the midst of the show on this Saturday morning. And let me touch on some of the promos that I didn't get a chance to do at the top of the show, because with the Breeders' Cup coming up, there's some things you should be aware of. First and foremost, if you don't yet have a Capital OTB bet account, bet 100, get 100. Promotion that will run through November 2nd, and what better time to jump in than with the Breeders' Cup right around the corner. If you don't have a Capital Bets account, sign up now. Take advantage of all the bells and whistles. You get free PPs, and there's some promotions that are aimed at the new account holders. You also obviously can bet on your computer, or your tablet, your smartphone. So sign up now, and if you sign up before November 2nd, bet $100 into your account. Capital OTB puts $100 free money into your account. Breeders' Cup Seminar is coming up Wednesday, October 30th, 7 o'clock will be the kickoff time here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to see you down here for the seminar. Complimentary beverages. You also have free PPs for the Breeders' Cup. Waitress available for dinner down here. If you want to make a night of it and grab some dinner while you're enjoying the seminar, that'd be a great way to spend your Wednesday evening. But either way, 7 o'clock right here, Wednesday night, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget to reserve your seat down here at the Racebook for the Breeders' Cup. $5 gets you admission, a seat, and a commemorative Breeders' Cup glass. So certainly we'd like to see you down here Friday and Saturday of the Breeders' Cup. Clearly, there will be a big crowd, and it's always a lot of fun to root your horse home along with a room full of other people that are cheering. So make a reservation to get your seat for the Breeders' Cup here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Today, it's a Fan Appreciation Day at the Rivers Casino. Love to have you stop by our branch in the Rivers Casino. But it's also a Sports Expo Day. Be a meet and greet with some pro athletes, betting seminars. But we also have that Fan Appreciation Day over in our OTB parlor section. First 50 folks get a bet voucher, giveaway item, and a program. There'll also be a handicapping contest during the afternoon. That's today at the Rivers Casino, Fan Appreciation Day. And don't forget, as always, on Sundays during the NFL season, NFL Sunday here at the Racebook tomorrow. Watch all the games, catch all the racing action throughout the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let me hit on some news and, again, some workout info from the past few days. If you've been watching here on the network, we have been showing the Breeders' Cup morning programming, which has been showing some workouts out at Santa Anita. I picked up some info on some of the works that have happened some other places as well. First, I do want to alert you, if you're a player who likes Laurel, and it's been missing the past couple of days. The reason? There's a broken pipe on the track apron area, a broken water pipe. So they will be out of commission today and tomorrow. And they've been they canceled racing Thursday and Friday as well. So they are having to deal with that broken water pipe issue at Laurel. So again, if you normally play Laurel and you've been looking, has it been on the menu? That's why they won't be racing there this weekend either. So hopefully Laurel comes back. And I'm just looking if they're noting. I'm sure they'll be back next, you know, the first available racing day after Sunday, because you would think they will be right on that. All right, the racing schedule and the racing menu have been announced for the Breeders' Cup. There are guaranteed pools. Friday's card, a $500,000 guarantee on the pick five, races 1 through 5. Late pick five Friday has a $1 million guarantee. All the Breeders' Cup pick four races, and all Breeders' Cup pick four, there's races 6 through 9 on Friday. But again, they are all Breeders' Cup, but the Juvenile Turf, the Juvenile Fillies Turf, and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That pick four on Friday will have a $1 million guarantee. Saturday, $1 million guarantee on the all Breeders' Cup Ultra Pick 6, and all Breeders' Cup Late Pick 5, races 8 through 12 on Saturday, a $2 million guarantee, and a $2 million guarantee, this will be fun, $2 million guarantee on the All Breeders' Cup Late Pick 4, that's races 9 through 12 on Saturday. That's the Mile, the Distaff, the Turf, and the Classic. $2 minimums, win, place, and show, and daily double. $1 minimums, Exacta Pick 6, and there'll be some special daily doubles. They are listed on the list of the first leg is listed on the list of Friday, but I couldn't find what they tie to the next day exactly. So look that up, and as we get closer, seminar night, I'll certainly know. We will announce it here. But again, $1 minimums, Exacta Pick 6, and special daily doubles. 50-cent minimums for trifectas, pick threes, pick fours, pick fives, and super high five. And 10-cent minimums for the Superfecta. All right, let's take a look at, I mentioned it earlier when we were talking to Ella Starr, one of the workouts that got a lot of buzz earlier this week. Mottoli worked out of the gate at Santa Anita, and he just blazed. And Mottoli obviously was a horse that was going to attract a lot of attention. Anyway, this is a horse that coming out of the big win in the Forego after the upset prior in the Vanderbilt, upset by Imperial Hint that day, but then came back in the Forego, looked great there, and boy, he looked great the other morning out at Santa Anita. October 22nd, Tuesday morning, he was out there, and again, from the gate, 58-4. Bob Baffert was quoted as saying something to the effect of, you know, I thought the track was playing a little slow until Mottoli came out there. I pulled up the Twitter feeds from both Jay Privman and Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum, guys who watch a lot of workouts. Privman tweeted out after this, I know fast horses work fast, but holy cow, Mattioli just threw it down. Welch followed up saying, ditto colleague Jay Privman's comment on Mattioli. Five furlongs from the gate in 33.84, 45.24, 58.27, out three quarters to the wire in 111.57. So Mattioli impressing on Tuesday morning out at Santa Anita. Some of the other workouts of note, and as I say, we've shown some of the California workouts here in the morning via the Breeders' Cup morning workout feed. But at Churchill and Keeneland yesterday in Kentucky, there were workouts also. Notable at Churchill, Covfefe and Got Stormy. Covfefe breezed five furlongs on a fast track, 59-4. That was a bullet best of 55 for Covfefe. Got Stormy, Mark Cassie's trainee. Got Stormy went a half mile in 47-2 in prep for the Breeders' Cup mile. And at Keeneland, the horse that won the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, Maxfield. If you remember, we had talked to Jeremy Plank that morning. He liked Maxfield, and he certainly nailed it there. Maxfield looked pretty good in the Breeders' Futurity. Maxfield outworked his company with a half-mile breeze on a fast dirt track at Keeneland in 47-4. And we have a little video of Maxfield on the track. I never saw that before. I suppose in the early morning, the blinking light is probably a good... I'm going to have to ask. I have never seen the blinking warning light on helmets like... I'm going to have to ask one of our trainers when we get him on, or one of the jockeys, if that's a common occurrence. Because as I say, I've never seen that before. But again, in the kind of gloaming, the early morning gloaming light, maybe it makes complete sense. But Maxfield was out there, and again, nice workout for Maxfield on Friday morning. And I think we can also cut to, unless Maxfield is going to pick it up. Yeah, I guess he is going to pick it up here. So why don't we watch Maxfield, because when he comes through the stretch, he looks great. He really unleashes it through the stretch. So again, 47.45 for Maxfield, the winner of the Breeders' Futurity. And as soon as we watch Maxfield come down the stretch, and here he's clearly picking it up and catching his company here. Once he kind of sets it down in the stretch, he really sets it down and looks pretty good. So again, once we watch the workout come under the wire for Maxfield, Alicia Winch Hughes from the NTRA caught up with Brendan Walsh, Maxfield's trainer, after this workout, and Brendan Walsh has some comments about the workout, Maxfield, and when he will head out to Southern California. So again, coming under the wire here, nice looking workout yesterday morning at Keeneland for Maxfield, and now we'll fire up the interview from his trainer, Brendan Walsh.
Yeah, no, that was great. No, he looked like he picked up really well, which is what we wanted. We wanted him to finish up the last quarter nice and sharp. And he did, and you know, he came back. He looks like he was just out galloping. So he's fit and he's ready to go. You know, everything's gone according to plan so far. So hopefully we get out there in good shape, and we have a good week, and I'm sure he'll be ready to go next Friday.
Who did he work in company with today?
He worked with a horse called Corkman. You know, I just wanted to get a lead for him, just to have him something, just to take him there early on, and have him to go buy something, and just, you know, pump him with as much confidence as we can.
When did he really start, you know, I asked this of Jimmy, when did he really kind of start showing you that maybe he had this kind of intangible that might kind of take him to that special level?
We've always liked him, you know, Alicia, we've always, you know, from the get-go, we've always thought he was a really nice horse. I mean, but looking at him physically, we thought, well, the more, you know, as time rolls along, the better he'll get, and the better he'll get. And I still think that's the way he's going to be. I think he's going to be a nicer horse next year, you know. But, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like, to think he was as good as he is, probably the day he broke his maiden. you know, because, you know, he did some really, really nice works. I remember we watched him work one day, myself and Jimmy, and it was pretty spectacular. We thought, you know, this is a very talented horse. But you look at him physically and you think, well, you know, as time goes along, he'll get better and better. But today he won his maiden, he did something that not a lot of two-year-olds would do. And of course, you know, then he went to the futurity and he did something better again. And it seems like his work is getting better and better as he goes along. I mean, that's as good a work as I've seen the horse do. It was like, you look at it and you're like, whoa. So, you know, he's just, like I said, he's rolling along. And I think next year is going to be what he's going to really be, you know. So, but hey, he's doing good at the moment, and I'm sure he's going to run really well next week.
What will your plans be with him when he gets to Santa Anita?
I think we'll just get him over there. Hope, you know, he should travel good. He's a very laid-back horse, you know, so I would expect that he'll travel good. And we'll probably just maybe give him a little jog on Sunday morning, or shed row him Sunday morning, one or the other, and then we'll gallop him for the rest of the week. But, yeah, we'll just keep him ticking over, keep him happy, and, you know, just get him there nice and fresh on Friday, and hope for the best.
Is Scuba going?
No, unfortunately, he's not making the trip. He's got some other duties to perform here, but no, we're just him and Vitalogy, obviously.
And you know, there's kind of this juvenile's kind of looking a little bit like a three horse, you know, race, or people are those that are three big ones. You're with Maxfield, Dennis's Moment, and obviously Baffert's Colt. You've seen Dennis's Moment up close, having run against him. How do you kind of assess him and just the juvenile field overall?
I think it's you know, the three of them, Alicia, I think they're probably three very good colts. You know, you can't write off anybody to jump up at this time of year. You know, you're always going to get somebody. Eddie Keneally's colt is a nice horse too, Scabbard. You know, he was, you know, he's run some really nice races, and he got a little trouble behind Dennis's Moment the last day, so I wouldn't write him off either. You know, and like I said, you never know who's going to jump up. You know, you get something that'll be 7 or 8 to 1, and they might jump up and run a blind, or some of them local horses, you know, they can be tough too. But I think it is a very good year. I think the three colts that you're talking about, I think they're probably, you'll find as time goes along, I think they're three very nice horses.
Trainer Brendan Walsh, after yesterday's workout by Maxfield down at Keeneland, a nice work, clearly in that juvenile, Dennis's Moment, who also worked yesterday and had a really nice workout at Santa Anita. Dennis's Moment is going to attract the attention, but Maxfield, off of the Breeders' Futurity win, also will get plenty of support. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Rich Eng has a couple, three ideas actually, on some horses that may offer some value for you to take a look at as you peruse your PPs for the Breeders' Cup. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flix Barn, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Saturday morning. Happy to be joined now by our friend Rich Eng. I haven't talked to him in a while, and we appreciate his getting up early out there on the West Coast, the Las Vegas area, to join us with some Breeders' Cup thoughts. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little Breeders' Cup. And you and I were talking off the air, and you were talking also about the sheet you put out and had a couple of nice winners at Keeneland over the past couple of days, and one you gave out on the Bick Radio Show. And do you want to mention today's play of the day on your sheet?
Oh, sure. It'll be a way to kind of advertise the sheet a little bit, if you don't mind. And
yeah,
because I do a daily Southern California sheet. Based on Del Mar, Santa Anita, and Los Alamitos. It's available. My homepage is on the website, www.racedaylasvegas.com.
Okay.
Racedaylasvegas.com. That's where people can go to my homepage.
And we also, on the graphic, have your Twitter handle up, Rich Eng Pro Pick.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm fairly active on social media. Try to stick to horse racing, although I bleed over once in a while. I'll ground motion, I guess. But as far as the picks, I gave out a couple of nice horses at Keeneland, and today let's go to even though it's raining out there, I already saw that they were off the turf, but this pick I made was on the main track, Seth, and no change, even though it might be sloppier / muddy out there. Race number 8, 7 furlongs. It's actually a first level allowance race, $73,000 purse, and on these elongated sprints, a lot of times I like to go to an outside post. Kind of gives the jockey a chance to eyeball the field, and whether they're speed or stalker or closer, it gives some options as far as where they want to place the horse. My pick for today, my semi-cast pick play of the day, is the 9, Uber Kirk, 5-1 in the morning line. A friend of mine, Kenny McPeak, who I met a long time ago when he was just starting in the game. In fact, I saw his first win of his career at River Downs many, many moons ago. But he's using Brian Hernandez. This horse is more of a closer type, but I think the race shape really sets up real well. And just the way that I've been looking at this horse, I think this horse is ready for a big effort. Third start off of a short layoff during the summer. So the 9, Uber Kirk, 5-1, is my play in race 8 at Keeneland today.
Sounds very good. And Rich reached out to you because you've been posting some articles on America's Best Racing, the website, and one of them recently gave some ideas for maybe some value to find in the Breeders' Cup, and people have probably printed up the pre-entry PPs. I thought great time to maybe toss out some ideas on horses that might add a little bit of value. And as I read down the list of 3, I thought, I like all of those. So let's jump in. Breeders' Cup Classic, and a horse that I think will go off at a little bit of value given her career. And it's funny to say this because she's had a very good career. I think she's even better than her record. And we're talking about a late who Bill Mott is going to elect to face the boys. And just that when a guy like Bill Mott makes a move like that, you have to pay attention. But, Rich, I went back and pulled up while we talked the replay, the Delaware Handicap. Delaware Handicap, a late is going to be the number 7. She will win off by a chart margin of 4.5. And what's notable here is it's 1.25, the same distance as the Breeders' Cup Classic. So she's certainly proven at the distance. Talk a little bit about what you like about a late in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Well, you know, you mentioned the distance. She's 3 for 3 wins at going 1.25. And quite frankly, Seth, the pedigree, the breeding in American racing, there's not a whole lot of horses who really want to go 1.25. I mean, they can all get it, as Dwayne Lucas used to say about the Derby distance, but it just takes some of them a lot longer. But, but as far as someone like Elate, I know she likes the distance. This is her first go against the males. And, you know, one of the reasons she kind of jumped off the page at me is that, you know, this field for the Classic, while it's certainly a good field and there's some very good horses in here, this to me does not look as strong as some other years when you've got some, colts, the older horses that you really want to stay away from that just stick out. To me, McKenzie, during the summer, when he was during some of his better races, to me, he looked like he was going to be more of a short favorite, unbeatable type. But that last race in the Awesome Again, it really shocked me that he was stalking Mongolian Groom, who was a big long shot. and he had the entire length of the stretch to try to pass the horse, and he couldn't. And I took that as a knock, even though he certainly could possibly win the Classic still at a short price. I know Code of Honor is a horse that I like an awful lot. He's coming to hand real nicely for Chuck McGahee. The last two races have been outstanding in the Travers and Jockey Club Gold Cup. But I really thought that Elate, with her style, she should be able to, you know, get a good trip, probably a stalking trip, like third, fourth, fifth in the body of the race. And when you got a trainer like Bill Mudd, who's a Hall of Fame trainer, you know, you touched upon fifth, when he makes a decision like this, you know, he doesn't, it's not made lightly. I'm sure he has his experience of all the decades of training. I'm sure he talked to some people as far as the opportunity that's in front of him. And he thought it was worth the risk. And, you know, one thing about if he had run in the Distaff again, one, the purse is a lot smaller, and two, he's got a horse named, filly named Midnight Bisou, who can't seem to get past. So, you know, maybe in a way, running for $6 million and against the males might actually be more palatable than trying to beat Midnight Bisou, which he has not been able to do this year.
Well, and that ties into the field, because if he goes in the Distaff, he's potentially facing the Horse of the Year, whereas that's not so much of a certainty in the Breeders' Cup Classic. McKenzie, I think, probably if you came down to it and when push came to shove, people would say, he's the best older horse in the country, but he's only 2-for-6 this year. And so, yeah, if you're going to take a shot, this is the year to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, Bob Baffert did something that kind of surprised me, because he has been using Money Mike Smith on, you know, a lot of his, you know, top live horses. But he actually said, Mike, sorry, but it's just not working. he has hired John Velasquez to ride, who certainly is a Hall of Fame jockey, and they've had some success together, Baffert and Velasquez. But very interesting that he removed Smith from the mount.
Yeah, that was certainly one of those stories that when it came out, had you kind of scratching your head a little bit. But again, 6 starts this year, 2 wins and 4 seconds. So I can see why they thought, maybe it's just time to shake things up heading into the Classic. All right, let's move on to the Breeders. How often are we going to hear the actual title of this race over the course? It is titled now the Big Ass Fan Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So as I say, I guess you have to tie that in if you're in the broadcast. But I'm not sure that classes up the afternoon necessarily. But the Dirt Mile, it's going to be interesting in here. Mainly because of Omaha Beach and the phenomenal race last time he ran off the layoff since the Arkansas Derby. But you touted perhaps one to take a look at is Improbable. He's coming out of a fourth place, pretty good close-up fourth in the Pennsylvania Derby. He wasn't beaten mutt by much more than a length, but he was the 6-5 favorite that day. But I'm going back and looking at the Shared Belief back on October 25th. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Improbable will be the number 6 horse, chart margin of 2 3/4 that day. What are your thoughts in the Dirt Mile for Improbable?
Well, you know, again, certainly in the Breeders' Cup, you want to shop for price. There's going to be some really strong favorites that people are going to like coming out of this race. You mentioned Omaha Beach. I think Mr. Money's going to take a lot of money. And I think even a horse like Catalina Cruiser is probably going to get some play. But you know, the thing with Improbable is that even if he goes off at third, fourth, fifth choice, I think he's going to be in the ballpark at 8-1, 10-1, that kind of range. And if you take a look at his horse's PPs, he is almost always favored in his races, even though he's had a few, kind of stubbed his toe a few times lately, but he's been in the Triple Crown a couple of races. That Pennsylvania Derby showcased one of the issues that happens with this horse. He seems to act up in the gate sometimes, and when he does, it affects his performance. He did act up in the Pennsylvania Derby. He kind of put him in a bad spot early. The horse made a nice middle move, got right into the hunt of four horses across the track in the final furlong, and ended up being beat by just a little over a length. But this horse is 2-for-2 at a mile in the Shared Belief, and also earlier at Churchill Downs in the Street Sense. I think the cutback in distance might actually help a horse like this. You know, Bob Baffert, again, just like what I said about Bill Mott, Hall of Fame, knows what he's doing, worthwhile risk versus reward. So I thought at a square price, if Powerball in the 8 to one, 10 to one range is an interesting horse to look at for the mile.
Yeah, one of those horses that after the race is over to improbable wins, you're sitting there saying, Bob Baffert paid $16? How did that happen?
Very true. You know, I in the Breeders' Cup, I'm almost afraid of Bob Baffert as far as a better when he's the favorite, because, you know, some of his favorites have not run well in the Breeders' Cup, but when he's a price, he seems to run a little bit better. So just the word of the wise.
Improbable in the dirt mile. And then finally, a horse that I agree with you. In the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, I'm really looking forward to this race to see the throwdown between Kefefi and Come Dancing. But if they do throw down and kind of knock each other out, Dawn the Destroyer is interesting. I had Kieran on when we were doing our backstretch morning show this summer. I had him on the morning of the Ballerina and saw him subsequently after that race and ran a good second behind Come Dancing, who's just been phenomenal this year. And I said to Kieran, you know, you had to be happy with that, and he seemed to be perfectly happy with a good second behind a very good horse. Subsequently, and we're going to watch here, the TCA at Keeneland, Dawn the Destroyer comes up just short again, but a 10-1, pretty good second, losing by a head to Spiced Perfection. Dawn the Destroyer will be the number 5 horse as we're watching the stretch run here. I think she comes in good form and primed for a big effort. Again, she's facing off at what are potentially a couple of superstars in Come Dancing and Kefefi. But talk about Dawn the Destroyer.
Well, you know, when I handicapped the Breeders' Cup Sprint, the males and the females, you know, one thing about getting all these grade one horses, there's a lot of speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, to try to get a bomb, a lot of times you try to hope that there's an early pace duel among multiple horses setting up for closers. I know the Filly and Mare Sprint has had two bombs the last 2 years, and I just thought that, again, the race shape could really flatter a horse like this, even though you look at her resume, she's only 1-for-7 in the victory column this year, but she's running some very small fields. You know, I'm looking at them 5-6, 5-7, and a lot of times she just didn't get the right pace scenario, the right setup. But I think she's going to get a perfect setup in the Filly and Mare Sprint, real fast pace. She's going to be closing. She should be a square price. If she gets up, I'm going to be thrilled because she'll be on my ticket. But I'm pretty confident she's going to run her race. It's just a matter of the others back up through her, and maybe she provides another upset on Breeders' Cup Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And again, you're out in Vegas, and I assume you maybe circulate amongst the racebook folks. Is there a buzz out there? Because for me this year, I think there are some really nice matchups. Again, the Classic may not be one of the better we've seen over the history of the Breeders' Cup, but that sprint with Mattoli and Chancelot and Imperial Hint, Omaha Beach, I've mentioned, late in the Classic, Kefefi and Come Dancing in this Filly and Mare Sprint. I think there are some great storylines and some great matchups. I'm really looking forward to it. As I say, have you gotten a sense of any buzz out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, out here, it's certainly the one day compared to, like, the Triple Crown races where the race books really roll out the red carpet. There'll be some parties around town, a lot of free handicapping seminars. If I could plug one real quick, I'm going to be doing a seminar on Friday, this Friday, 6 o'clock Pacific time at Sunset Station Racebook. I'll be on with Hammer and Hank Goldberg, who you may or may not know or remember, but I'll be on with Hank and a local announcer, Brian Blessing. But it's free, and if anybody's in the Vegas area, I'd love to see you next Friday, 6 p.m. at Sunset Station. You know, as far as the buzz, I'll tell you one angle that I'm looking forward to. It's basically Chad Brown versus the world, because, you know, he's got all these fantastic turf horses, and, you know, the ones that are going to be standing in his way are basically the Euro shippers. Very, very interesting. Can't wait to put pencil and paper to try to figure out how that equation.
Oh, works. The matchup I didn't mention that is going to be one of the better of the week, Sister Charlie and Magical.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, you got me rubbing my hands together over that one. That's
yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm glad you touted the seminar, because I know I run into people from our area every year. It's funny. It seems like you either stay home or you go to the Breeders' Cup. But no, a lot of people, and I think it's true also for Kentucky Derby Day, a lot of people like to go to Vegas and play in the race book out there.
Oh, there's no question that, you know, if you don't go to the Derby, or if you don't go to the Belmont Stakes or the Breeders' Cup, coming to Vegas, you can have one heck of a good time, and a lot of people do it. Another thing is, like, for example, the college basketball tournament, people come out here and take the whole week off and try to bet every darn game during the tournament. But Vegas is always a great destination, and we love all the visitors.
And Rich, we know time is a little early out there, so again, appreciate your getting up and joining us this morning. Always appreciate the conversation, and good luck next week, Breeders' Cup. We'll talk again.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. I wish you good luck, and I wish all the listeners good luck. And remember, the bottom line when you're betting on things like the Breeders' Cup is try to end the day with more money than you started with. That's always fun.
That is always the game plan. Rich, thanks again.
Thanks, Seth.
Rich Eng, again, he had the article, America's Best Racing. You can catch him there. It's just, we said the website. You saw his Twitter handle down there. You can give Rich a follow. We also appreciate the visit earlier from Ellis Starr from Equibase. So we gave you some ideas for today, which, again, at Belmont with the Bold Ruler, all eyes on the return of Maximum Security. Some nice stakes action today. Don't forget, tomorrow there is the Empire 6 mandatory at Belmont, so keep that in mind for tomorrow. But keep in mind, I think there's going to be some weather overnight and into tomorrow in the New York area. So if you're kind of getting an early start on your handicapping, there's that 1% bonus, as you see on the screen, too, for $100 plus in total wagers on the Empire 6. So that's tomorrow. Jump in. It's a mandatory pay. There will be a big pool tomorrow, hopefully on Racing Across America. Don't have things totally firmed up yet, but hopefully some extensive conversations on the Empire 6 and give you some ideas. But again, it's going to play out with the weather situation tomorrow at Belmont as well. So great racing today, the mandatory tomorrow, closing day today at Keeneland. And let me just hit on once again the promos, the Bet 100, Get 100, which continues through November 2nd. Sign up for a brand new account, bet $100 in, you get $100 in free money put into your account. Breeders' Cup seminar coming up on Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Complimentary beverages, free past performances. Waitress available for dinner, so come down and make a night of it. Chow down and enjoy the Breeders' Cup, or chow down at home and come over at 7 o'clock. We'd love to see you either way. Always fun to have a full house as we give some thoughts on all of the Breeders' Cup races this Wednesday night, the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany at 7 o'clock. Also, reserve your seat for the Breeders' Cup at the Clubhouse. $5 gets you a seat, admission, a commemorative Breeders' Cup glass. Love to see you down here, Breeders' Cup weekend. It's always a lot of fun. Big crowd, lots of activity, cheering, and it just makes it that much more fun to be here with the big crowd. 711 Central Avenue in Albany, the Clubhouse Racebook. Today, it is a fan appreciation day at our Rivers Casino branch. It's also a sports betting expo down there, so it's really a big day all around down at Rivers Casino. Meet and greet with some of the pro athletes. But over in our area, we will have the fan appreciation day that runs from noon until 5. First 50 folks get a bet voucher, giveaway item, and a program. There's also a handicapping contest during the afternoon. Fan appreciation day at the Rivers Casino. And tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook, Sunday, as always on Sundays, NFL action. Wear a jersey, you get in for free, put your name on a square. Maybe you can win a jersey or a food voucher. But more importantly, you can watch all the games and catch all the racing action every Sunday throughout the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right. That brings us to the end of this edition of Racing Across America. I want to thank our friends at Woodbine for their sponsorship. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on great racing north of the border. They'll be in our mix this afternoon for OTB Live. I'll be back in, what, about an hour and a half or so to kick off the Sunday afternoon edition of OTB Live. So tune in for that. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.